And get married. Get married, that'll solve all the problems.
I'm trying.
Very good.
Oh, man.
Very good. Okay, David Roth is not here today. Everybody else is here. Anyone here is going to be here? Shine. We'll start now. What time is it? Yeah. Okay. There is a mitzvah nechumish to put on tzitzis, on arba kampis, a garment that has four corners. Then the Torah says the two parts to the mitzvah, you have to have tchelis and lavan. How many chute tchelis do you have to have? So there are three different opinions in the Rishonim. There's a machlokes satanan, how many strings you put in the tzitzis. Do you put three long strings that you fold over to make into six? Or do you have four long strings that you fold over to make into eight? That's a machlokes bisham and misil, and we follow bishamai, that you have four folded over to make into eight. There's another machlokes bisham and bisilo. That's a machlokes on the level of the raisa, how many strings. Another machlokes bisham and bisilo. Is there exera de rabbanon prohibiting one from putting on tzitzis on a beged shel pishton? On the level of the raisa, for sure a beged shel pishton is chayv and tzitzis. The Gemara says, one tan is of the opinion, kol beged homer batera, either tzemer or pishtim, that silk or cotton begodim are only chayv and tzitzis from the rabbanon. The other tan says, no, all begodim are chayv minatera. But beged shel tzemer, beged shel pishtim, for sure, that's chayv minatera. If you're going to put tzitzis on a beged shel pishton, so the chut of tchelus is going to have to be tzemer. This is quotes from the Gemara. Has to be a certain color dye. Has to come from this sea animal. From that's called the chalozen, and it has to be a certain material. It has to be dafke tzemer. So that we spoke about yesterday. So if you're going to tie the chut shel tchelus on a beged shel pishton, that itself is going to make it into shatnas, a kesher. A kesher is a chibur. Rashi writes, the Gemara says it's only shatnas deraisa if it's shua tovi vanuz. So Rashi learns, shua tovi vanuz means the two were combed out together and they were spun together, the tzemer with the pishtim to made into one big thing. So Tosfos said that's ridiculous. If it has to be spun together and woven everything together, so how is it shatnas deraisa if it's taya na chut shel tzemer? And beged shel pishton, it's only a kesher. They see that it's not correct, but Rashi said, you don't need shua and tovi vanuz, the chibur together. Each one, the tzemer should be shua tovi vanuz, and the pishton should be shua tovi vanuz, and you need a chibur together. Not the way Rashi learns, shua tovi vanuz, the chibur of the tzemer with the pishton should be a triple, on a triple level, on three levels. So min ha-Torah, if you're going to put chelus on a beged shel pishton, that would constitute shatnas. That's mutter, that's eser d'chol eses, and that is the original source of the whole institution, from the parsha of tzitzis being placed on a, tchelus being placed on a beged shel pishton, we derive the kol ha-Torah kulo, the mamotzino, that eser d'chol eses. So that's the original din of eser d'chol eses. However, the Gemara says, it's only eser d'chol eses if it's yepsha l'kaim shneim, if it's a beged shel pishton, you have to put on a chut shel tzemer. What if you're not going to have any tchelos? You're just going to have lavan. So it's efshel l'kaim shnei. I can fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis without tying any. I don't have tchelos. If you have to put on tchelos and you put on the chut tchelos, has to be tzemer. So it's efshel l'kaim shnei. It's impossible to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis with tchelos b'shlei muso without violating shatnas. But if you're just going to have lavan, you're not going to have any tchelos at all. So it's efshel l'kaim shnei. So put on all the chut m'shel pishton. Who tells you to tie on a chut shel tzemer? So the Bishamai made Xerah de Rabbanon. This is one of the six cases where we pass like Bishamai. One of the six cases is you need four chutim that fold over to become eight instead of three that fold over to become four. That's on the level of the Rais. And this is another machlokes on the level of the Rabbanon. So do we make Xerah de Rabbanon that you shouldn't put in tzitzis at all and a beged shel pishton, lest you'll fall in? A faker may sell you imitation tchelus, and he'll charge you $100 to tell you this is real bona fide tchelus from the chalozen. The chalozen is very expensive. It's not so easily available. It's not so easy to find the chalozen. So this guy will find indigo that's much more easily available and has the exact same chemical composition. There's no way you can't tell the difference between tchelus and kloilo. So this fellow may sell you imitation tchelus, which is possible. you'll be putting in lavan al pidin. The trellis is not authentic trellis, and if just to put in lavan, you didn't have to put in chut shel tzema. You could have put in all the chutim shel pishtum. So the shama make exera the rabban. We don't permit you to put tzitzis at all. Not even allowed to put in lavan and a begim shel pishtum, lest by mistake someone will fool you and sell you trellis, and you'll put in trellis, and it'll be possible trellis, and it'll be klaim shelav makom mitzvah. So the shama made exera the rabban. That's what we discussed on other occasions. When the Rosh came to Spain, so the Tur quotes this in Simeches, when the Rosh came to Spain, he was surprised to see that the Balabatim were wearing arba kafas made from pishtan, made from linen. So he asked them, "Ay, but the din is like Beishamai." So they said, "No, the whole Gzeira de Rabbona Beishamai only applies if you live in a generation where people are putting on tchelus and begodim. It's already many generations that we didn't have any tchelus. So since the whole reason for the Gzeira doesn't apply, the whole Gzeira doesn't apply." So the problem is, but let it be a dovish of a minyan tzach miyachal atir. Whenever the Chachamim make a Gzeira de Rabbona because of a specific concern, they're worried about something, even if you live in a generation. Usually they made it a loy plug rabbanon, even in a situation where the chashash doesn't apply, and even if you live in a generation where the whole chashash doesn't apply, that's called davish of a minyan, tzach minyan achal atir. If the chachamim voted on something, minyan, the om de la minyan, and they made it xera de rabbanon for a specific reason, you live in a generation where the whole reason doesn't apply, so you have to convene a bezin to repeal the xera de rabbanon, tzach minyan achal atir. And Kolzman, you didn't convene a bezin to repeal it, so the exer de rabbanon has been called my medis. So that's what they ask on the Rosh. The Rosh doesn't explain why is on the davish of the minyan. So that's what happens. The Mishkan is Yankit has a tshuva in his second sefer from Kohel is Yankit. First two tshuvas in Chelik HaShemishpat, where he knocks sense into the Rosh. The Rosh epis says something, but we don't understand it. So the Mishkan is Yankit explains whenever the exer de rabbanon is bakiras davim and atar, they're telling you don't fulfill the mitzvah deraisa. And I told you, Mechuyev, to put in tzitzis with the chelus and the begim shel pishtan. The Rabbanon, they prohibit you from putting on. So whenever they make exera the Rabbanon to be oiker a mitzvah and a Torah, they can't just make exera the Rabbanon. That's mamish kenegad the din Torah. So they have to incorporate the tamak zera into the nusach hagzera. Whenever the tamak zera is incorporated into the nusach hagzera, then it's not going to be a loy plug. So then if you live in a generation where the whole chashash doesn't apply, so the exera doesn't apply. Fine. The Gemara says in Amoicheres Hasfina, the beginning of Amoicheres Hasfina, there are all kinds of wild agarita. So Rabbi Barbachana has went to touring, and he had an Arab, Hahutaya, was showing him all the sites. So he showed him the Blue Kairach, Kairach Vadosa, where they were swallowed up by the earth, and he showed him the Mesa Midbar. And when he came back to the Beis Medrash and he was telling all of his Chaverim about this fantastic tour, that the whole Chumash came to life for him, because the Arab showed him all the sites in the Midbar. So they asked him, "Oh, you saw the Mesa Midbar, did you count the strings on the Beged to see how many, whether it's six strings or eight strings?" So he said, he didn't think of it, it didn't occur to him. They said, "What an idiot. He went on a tour and they showed you the Mesa Midbar. Rabbi Bachana is a fool. He should have looked to see." You see from the Gemara that archaeological evidence plays a role in Paskin and Shilas. I'll be Pashtas in the Gemara. That's a very good question. It could well be that the answer is Chaim Soloveitchik was once asked to give a haskama on a sefer. My father, Zechana Baruch, had that say. Rav Soloveitchik told over this story, and I was thinking my heart is making up a Baba Maisa. And then I saw my father had the sefer at home. Someone found the Ksav Yad of Rav Yonasan Eibishitz on Chumash. On every parsha, Bereishas Nach Lachocha, he has a Medrash Pliya and a Pshetel from Rav Yonasan Eibishitz. So it's called Amudi Yohainasan. So the guy who found this Ksav Yad wrote his Pshetlach also, Amudi Shmuel. So you have two Svarim in one. A parsha's Bereishas, you have Amudi Yohainasan, you have Amudi Shmuel. Then on Parshas Noach, you have Amud Yonis and you have Amud Yishmo. So this Talmud Chacham went around collecting haskamas for the Sefer, and he asked Rav Chaim Soloveitchik for haskamas. So Rav Chaim was looking part of the Sefer, So he said, Halom give a haskama if he takes out that section. What's wrong? He had a medrash plea, so he gave a whole pshetl, that the machlokes between Yosef and Paro, whatever, was the machlokes between Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro, and somebody was machlokes the Rambam and the Ravid. So he says, you're not allowed to say that. No one's allowed to argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. The Novi Malachi says, Zichru Torah Moshe Abdi. Malachi signs off, you better observe all the dinim of the Torah. So because he calls it Torah Moshe Abdi, Moshe Rabbeinu has the final say. You can't disagree with Moshe Rabbeinu. So Reb Chaim said that if the author will remove that pshetl, it wasn't in Rabbi Yonasan Ebeshit's sefer. It was in his sefer. It was in Amud Yishmol, not in Amud Yonasan. So he said, if you remove that pshetl from the sefer, then I give you permission to print my haskama. So the fellow had already given the manuscript in Warsaw to the publisher to print. They told him to leave out the first boygen, the first 32 pages. And he's going to collect haskamas, and he'll put the first 5-10 pages going to be haskamas. So leave that out, don't print that last. And he printed the rest of the sefer first. By the time he came to Warsaw, so he saw that the printer had already printed the whole sefer with that pshetl. The Reb Chaim said he won't give a haskama if he prints that. So he printed the haskama Reb Chaim, and then he has an asterisk, and he writes on the bottom of the page, Reb Chaim only give him the haskama on the condition that he deletes a certain pshetl. He came to Warsaw, was printed already. He wants everybody to know that pshetl is apikursus. Reb Chaim said that's apikursus. You're not allowed. No one's allowed to argue with Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah Moshe. Reb Chaim said this also. The Seder Adoris quotes from the Sefer HaKabbalah, I think. Sefer HaKabbalah is by the Ravid, a history book. There were three Ravids. The two Ravids knew how to learn. One was the father-in-law of the other one. The Ravid married the Ravid, our famous Rambam, and the Ravid, he married the daughter of the Ravid, the Baal HaEshkol, the Rabbi Avram Abdezin. His name, Rabbi Avram ben David, and his father-in-law's name, Rabbi Avram ben Yitzchak, but he was the Abdezin. He's also known as the Ravid, author of the Sefer HaEshkol. Shachni every day, right? Sometimes there's a stir between the Ravid and the Ravid. So there's Levi Yadua, the two different Ravids, and that's the teretz to the stir. So there was a third Ravid who wrote a history book, and he's never in the running. He never says anything on halacha, so there's no confusion as far as that's concerned. So in the Ravid's book, the Sefer HaKabbalah, the history book, that's quoted as an authentic source by the Seder Hadoras, so he quotes a story. There was a machlekes Rabbi Natam and his brother-in-law Rabbi Eliyo. When it says in the Chumash, "Kshartim loos al yadecha," what does it mean? So the Rabbeinu Eliyahu said you have to tie a kesher every single day. You have to untie the knot every day and tie the knot again. It's questionable. He said something like that. It's a little unclear what he said. Rabbeinu Tam said it does mean that. Kukshata means to do hiduk, like we do. You tighten when you do hanachas atfilin, you tighten it. So they made up the gonna ask Rabbi Chil mi Paris to bring Moshe Rabbeinu back from the dead. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu says goes. So he brought Moshe Rabbeinu back from the dead, and he said the wrong way. He said, like Ben Elio, the brother-in-law of the Rabbeinu Tam. He said that when I wrote the Chumash, that's what the Rabbeinu Shalom told me. That's the pshat in the Chumash. You have to make a knot every day. So Rabbeinu Tam said, the deal is off. I'm not going to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. He doesn't know what he's talking about. That's not what it means. So they say, the Rab Chaim, Rab Soledjik. Rab Chaim said, that's up curses. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu says goes. Moshe Rabbeinu is the balabos, Taurus Moshe. The Gemara says you can argue with Yeshua ben Nun. The Gemara says even if Yeshua ben Nun would say it, I would argue with him. But you can't argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. Can't argue with Moshe Rabbeinu.
So
Moshe Rabbeinu was the rabbi, and he tells him to put on six strings in his Talmud. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's pesach.
You say that, and you got rid of the Sheet Sarambam, that the Sanhedrin can only start differently.
No, any bezin other than Moshe Rabbeinu. You can argue with Yeshua ben Nun, right? You can argue with Yeshua ben Nun. The Bais Sheni, the Gemara says, they did Nisach HaYayin totally different from the way they did it in the Bais Rishon. Totally different Rosh. And they knew what they did in Bais Rishon. They didn't agree. They did it differently. They knew that Shlomo HaMelech held one way, and they paskan against him. So the Sfasemis and his Chidushim on the Gemara Zvachim asked the Kasha, he means to say that for 410 years of the Bais Rishon, they were never Yotzei Nisach HaYayin. So he gives a whole teretz al pi kabbal, al pi chasidus, but the pashtus of the teretz is elu v'elu divrei kimchai. The bezdin in every generation has the right to darshan the psukim the way they see fit, whatever they think the halacha is. And so in that generation, the din is like Shlomo HaMelech, and in Bais Sheni, the din is like the chachamim, like the anshei knesset hagdol. You do the nisach hayayin differently. That's how the Beis Yitzchok, we mentioned the other day, the Beis Yitzchok has a tshuva, Rabbi Yitzchok Shmelkish, the Rav in Lemberg in the 1850s. He discusses the Nes, we discussed it yesterday, no? Discusses the Nes Chanukah. Why was there a need for Nes Chanukah? The din is that Mashkim and the Beis HaMikdash are not Mekabel Tumah. So what do you need a miracle for? There's no such thing as Shem and Tomei. So he says, if the story of Chanukah would have occurred 100 years later, there wouldn't have been any Nes, because Yosef ben Yezer get Paskin, that Mashkin and the Beis HaMikdash are not Mekabel Tumah at all, even Midrabbanan. But the story of Chanukah occurred 100 years before Yosef ben Yezer came on the scene. And in that generation of the Chashmonaim, the Psak HaMekubal was that the Mashkim and the Beis HaMikdash are Mekabel Tumah, either Min HaTorah, Min HaRabbanan. There are different opinions among the Tanaim. So the Rebbeinu Shlom bent over backwards to make a miracle because of the Psak HaMekubal. The consensus in that generation was that Mashkim and the Beis HaMikdash are not Mekabel Tumah. And in a later generation, 100 years later, the Psak was accepted like Yosef ben Yezer. Now, every so often, we had on the first daf, you have Machlokes, the Mishnah Rishayin, and the Mishnah Achrayin, Bezdin Shel Achrayim Amru. The earlier Bezdin, the consensus in one generation was one way, and then the consensus changed in the later generation. They reversed. You have a lot of times like that. So in every generation, the Halacha is that's Eilu V'Eilu Dibur L'Kim Chai. Whatever the Chachma HaTorah Paskin in that generation, that's the accepted Psak. The Gemara says on the many disputes between the Bishama and the Bishulu, Eilu V'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. So the Ritva has that at the end of the first parak in Erev, and the Yud Gimel. So the Ritva has a comment on that Gemara. How can it be Elu Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim? Either they're right or they're right. How can they both be right? So he says it probably means approximately like this. While Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, Baruch Shalom is giving him a shir on Ksubis. So he asked him, what's the din in this case? He tells him the din. What's case in that? What's the din in that case? Tells him the din. What's the din in the following case? The Baruch Shalom says that's a great area of halacha. Has elements of Isa, elements of Heta, elements of psul, elements of heksha, elements of chiv, elements of ptur, and it's a gray area. So he leaves out to the hachro of the chachme hator shebechol davador, based on their perception of kol haterkul. So people have different people have different viewpoints. I can look at all the people in the room. I see all the people, the chairs, and the pictures on the ceiling, and I have one perspective because I'm sitting over here, and someone is sitting in that corner saying the exact same thing that I see. Everybody sees the exact same thing, but he has a totally different perspective. Someone in this corner is going to see everything, but from a different perspective. All the perspectives are right from their perspective. All the perspectives are right. So everybody, you have the Shammai B'Israel looking at the body of Torah, and they see everything. They're all seeing the same thing. Sometimes you have rabbis express an opinion, they're blind on one eye. Or they have a poor, they don't have 20/20 vision. They don't know all the halachas. What do you mean? So they don't know what they're talking about. When we talk Mishama and Basil, they all had 20/20 vision with their glasses. They knew everything that it said. They knew Kala Tarkula. Each one had a different perspective on the halacha. So each one looking from his perspective worked with the Midrash HaTorah and addressed them, and he came up with a good answer. So the Shita Bishamai was acceptable, the Shita Basil was acceptable. The Talmid Beis Shammai followed Beis Shammai. Talmid Beis Silva followed Beis Silva. That's what it means. Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim. Each one from his perspective is correct. Sometimes you can't apply Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim. Later on in the Mems, there's a Rashi and a Tosfos that you don't apply Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim in the Nuns. Where is it? It's in the Nuns. Seder Adoris quotes it. Here it is. Nun Zayin Amar Aleph. The Tosfos, the Rashi and the Tosfos. What if there's two girsas in the Gemara? So one girsa is correct, one girsa is wrong. Well, let's say there's a machlokes abai v'rava. What did Reb Meir mean? Reb Meir only meant one or the other. He didn't mean both. Eilu v'eilu means when you're looking at the Torah, you look at the Chumash. So if you look, there are gray areas of halacha. From one perspective, you can come to one maskana. If you look from a different perspective, you come to a different maskana. But if you're discussing what did Reb Meir say, what did he say? He only said one thing. He didn't say something vague. So then you can say Eilu v'Eilu. The one who's wrong is absolutely wrong. He's dead wrong. But when it comes to halacha, we mentioned the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Gemara has an agadah. The Pashta says the Ribbono Shel Olam dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word and letter for letter. We said, how do you know that he dictated letter for letter? Because the Gemara darshan's Molei and Chaser. Here, a mem on the base on the bottom, the Gemara says, we paskin against Reb Meir. We paskin ketana yesh lo knas. Reb Meir holds knas is only by a nairo. By ketana there's no knas. Kamach mishesh mecher ain't knas. Kamach mishesh knas ain't mecher. Ketana has no knas. We paskin like the chachamim that a ketana does have knas. Why? Because it says naira chosehei. Naira chosehei means an incomplete naira. She a ketana is an incomplete naira. So you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter. The Rebbeinu Shlom told him, write the word Naira Chasahei. And the Gemara has many, many, many drushes. Where you darshan mole and chasa, the fact that the word is spelled with an extra letter, missing a letter, it shows that the Rebbeinu Shlom dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, not only word for word, letter for letter. We darshan extra words, and missing words, and so on. We assume that Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, and letter for letter. So there is an agarta in Menachos, where the Gemara presents it a little differently. It's poetically written, as if the Rebbeinu Shlom wrote the Torah. We assume that Rebbeinu Shlom didn't write the Torah. Rebbeinu Shlom dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, kol haTorah kula. So the Gemara presents it as if the Rebbeinu Shlom wrote the whole Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is waiting there up in heaven, and he says, give me the Torah. You finished the Rebbeinu Lein and kol Yisrael. Everything is finished. So he said, no. He's adding on the tagim. So the Moshe Rabbeinu says, what do I need the tchatchkalach for? It's good the way it is not. Reads well now. So he said, no, there's going to be a Talmud Chacham. After many generations, his name is going to be Rabbi Akiva. He's going to darshan on all of the tagim. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, unbelievable. What's he going to say already? So he shows him a video of Rabbi Akiva giving his shiur. It's fantastic the way he's giving his shiur. So then Rabbi Akiva used to darshan on all of the tagim. We don't even have one drasha. The Gemara doesn't call it one drasha from the beginning. It said, Tile, Tilim shel halachas, piles, mounds of halachas, on every, kol kotz v'kotz, and all that. We don't even have one drasha in the Gemara. It means that the Gemara didn't accept it. And nonetheless, the Rebbeinu Shlom put in the tagim, because that was one derech halima. That's Eile v'Eile diri l'kim chayim. Rebbeinu Shlom went out of his way to put in tagim that should be one derech halima. We have not accepted that. Halacha l'maisa. See, mamish Eile v'Eile diri l'kim chayim. Baruch Shalom went out of his way to make a miracle for the Chashman, right? Even though we don't pass like that in later generations. Baruch Shalom way to put in Tagim that there should be a sheet of Rabbi Akiva, which we have not accepted. It was outvoted by the other Tanoim. Eile v'Eile is a powerful concept.
And the pressure, he brought from Moshe Rabbeinu Menashemayim, Lo B'Shemayim, I mean,
it's
near
it
anymore. So how can you
pass into it? The whole story is a wild story. The whole Sefer Kabbalah by the rabbi is all full of Baba Mises. Yeah. The whole thing, it's a murderous kasha. Lo B'Shemayim, I don't know. Lo B'Shemayim. Lo B'Shemayim, maybe it means that the Nevuah doesn't help. But if Moshe Rabbeinu says, then that's not B'Shemayim. That's a human being.
Once a person is dead.
Yeah, the Pashtus says the whole story never happened. That's what Rab Chaim said. The whole story never happened. The whole thing is a Baba Mises. If Moshe Rabbeinu said, that's the din. How you can argue with Moshe Rabbeinu? It's Taras Moshe. Yeah. So again, which tshuva?
Tshuva is the same story. Appears in Tshuvas Min Hashemayim.
Shalosh Tshuvas Min Hashemayim.
Yeah.
Tells this story.
About Elder Rabbi Eliyahu.
Yeah. Not familiar. I don't know. What?
It tells about Yatias Min Hashemayim. Which tshuva kasher?
So what did he answer? Usually in the Chuvas he doesn't take a stand. Usually he doesn't take a stand in the Chuvas. Yeah. He always gives non-committal answers. It's a funny saying. Yeah. Anyway, so there's a big machlokes in Rishonim. How many strings of trailers do you have? There's a machlokes b'shamim b'sil. How many strings do you have? You have three strings folded over to make six. You have four strings folded over to make eight. So that's one of the six cases where we pass them like Deshamayim. In the Yud Ches Dover, the Mishnah, in the end of the first parak in Shabbos, it says that on one day the Bishamai outvoted the Beis Hillel on 18 issues, the Yud Ches Dover. So the Gemara says that the next day the Beis Hillel were away at a wedding or something. Most of the Beis Hillel were not there that day. So when they came back, they also paskan like the Bishamai. So that doesn't count. The 18 cases where Bishamai outvoted Beis Hillel, that doesn't count that we paskan like the Bishamai, because the next day the majority of the Beis Hillel were maskan with the Bishamai. So that doesn't count. But there are six cases. That's the Tosfos and Sukkot. The Avgimel Amaralo quotes the Siddur of Amram Goyen, who lists off there are six cases where we pass like the Bishamah against Beis Hillel. So tzitzis are two of the six. One is that you have four strings folded over to make eight. And the other one is that there is Gzeira de Rabbanan, not to put tzitzis at all. And the Begum Shal Pishton, Gzeira Mishum Klo Ilon. And you may fall in with imitation Tcheles, that's Klo Ilon. Klo Ilon is a indigo, that's what the Oruch writes. In that case, you didn't need to make the Shatnas at all, it wasn't necessary. But they made it there at the Rabbanon that you shouldn't put Tzitzis at all on the Begin Shal Pishtim. So now there's a big machlokes on Rishonim. If you have the four strings, the folded over into eight, how many of the strings are supposed to be dyed tchela? So there are three different opinions. The Rambam's opinion is that it's one of the eight strings. You dye a half a string. What do you mean you dye a half a string? You take a whole string and you put half the string in the dye. So they point out that it's not going to work. After the strings are twined, that you're going to dip it into the dye, it'll only dye the outside. It won't dye, the inside is going to remain white. So that's not really dyed the tchelas. So you have to dye the wool before you twine it, before you make it into a string. So you have to have wool that's dyed blue, and you have to have wool that's not dyed blue, and then you have to make a string, half with this wool and half with the other wool. Not so easy. It makes it more complicated. To have a half a string is pretty complicated. So that's according to the Rambam, you have to have a half of one long string. So one out of the eight strings is going to be dyed blue. The Rabbi disagrees and says, no, you have to have one whole string. So you're going to have three long strings that are going to be white, and one long string is going to be blue. And the Rabbi in the Tam's Shita is the only Shita that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that you have to have two and two. You have to have two blue strings and two white strings. That's the only opinion that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Here the Rabbi Natam has a whole fantastic shetel. It's unbelievable. He says, if you have a beged shel pishtan, and you put in chelas, so the minute you put it, you're going to put in the two chutei chelas and make a kesher, that's going to make it into shatnas, because a kesher, a double kesher, or the kesher, is a chibur. So you have a chibur between the tzemer and the pishtim, so it's shatnas. So the whole beged is considered shatnas. So you're not making it any worse if you add another two strings of lavan that are going to be tzemer. It does make it a bigger aveir. It says in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi, let's say a girl is wearing a gown, and a gown has a long train that schleps on the floor. And let's say the whole gown is a pishtan, and there's one schut of tzemer sewed in on the bottom, on the train. So it says in the Eridea, that makes the whole beged into shatnas, even though the part that has the shatnas, the tzemer, mechuba with the pishtan, is on the floor. That's not on her body. But since that's part of the long gown, the whole gown is labeled as shatnas, and she's in violation of the issa. The person is in violation of the issa. So what then I'm over here, I have a whole beged shel pishtan, and I have two chutim of tzemer, in order to fulfill chelus. Has to be a certain color and a certain material. So the two chutim of chelus have to be tzemer. So once I'm going to tie two chutim of tzemer onto the beged shel pishtan, the whole beged is going to become shatnas. Wearing the beged, even though the chutim are not going to be on my body, chutim are going to be sticking out, let's say. So the whole beged becomes shatnas. So it doesn't make it any worse if you add another two chutim of lavan that are going to be tzemer, because the beged has already become shatnas. So that's what the Rabbi Natam says. Migu, that you have a heter, esedech alesese. You have a heter to put in the two chutim shel cheles, because that's esedech alesese. You have no choice. So maybe you're allowed to put in another two chutim of tzemer on the beged shel pishtan. You can even put in the two chutim of lavan, will also be tzemer. It doesn't make it any worse. So that we understand. So far, so good. But then the next step is a giant step that we don't understand. And migu, that you're allowed to put in two chutim of lavan, of tzemer, and a beged shel pishtan, even though it's not really necessary for the mitzvah, because the lavan could have been pishtan. So you see, you're allowed to put in two chutim, then make it into shatnas, not letzorech ha-mitzvah. So even if you have a beged shel pishtan, you would be permitted to, even if you have a beged shel tzemer, you would be permitted to put in two chutim shel pishtan, even though it's not necessary for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis. You would be allowed to put in two chutim of pishtan and a beged shel tzemer, even not letzorech anything. How did he jump from that to that? If you already have two chutim of tzemer and a beged shel pishtan, so the whole beged is kilayim. So memela doesn't lamal v'lamorid, whether he had another two chutim of tzemer or the other two chutim are going to be pishtan, doesn't make it any worse, doesn't make it any better. So migah, that two chutim may be put in, that make it, should have made it shatnas. Should have made a shatnas. If you would have had it, if you would have not had the two chutim of tchelas, the two of lovin would have made a shatnas. Now it's already shatnas because of the two of tchelas. So the two of lovin that you put in that are tzemer and the beged doesn't make it any worse. But if you're going to put in two chutim shel pishtan and beged shel tzemer, that makes it shatnas unnecessarily. So that's the Rabbi Natam. The two chutim is hutra. Rabbi Natam asked, how can you, we learn that esedech aloy sesei, from Kalayim to Kolot or Kula, and Esed Dechala says only applies when it's Yevshu Lekayim Shneim, but the Rabbein Tam also thinks that Kalayim and Tzitzis is Hutra. How can it be Hutra and Tchuyah at the same time? So he says, therefore Hutim, two a Hutra and two a Tchuyah. That's a Pshetl, two a Hutra. Like the first Tesis on the first daf in Gittin, on that base on the Nalav, Tesis has Stiris. Vazako Eretz Yisrael, Vazako Chutzlo, so Tesis says, his city was split in half. The inside half was Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and the outside half of Akka was Chutzlos, didn't have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Here also, there's a stira. On the one hand, the Gemara learns that the Kol HaTarkula from Kalayim Vitzitzis, that Esed Dechalo Isese. Esed Dechalo Isese means only when it's Iyapshe Lekayim Shneim, it's Decha. Then on the other hand, the Gemara says you're permitted to put in Tuchutim of Pishtan and a Beged Shal Tzemer. Why? What's the tzorach? Put in all the chutim of tzemer in a beged shal tzemer. Why should there be? There's no need at all to put any chutim of tzemer in a beged shal tzemer. So Rabbi Natamin says because it's hutra. So it's hutra. How can you learn that? Esed Dechalas. He says no. Two chutim is hutra. Two chutim is tchuya. It's a little bit of a pshetl. So a shvera jump. How does he jump? He jumps migud that you're allowed to put in the two chutim of tzemer in a beged shal pishton because Esed Dechalas says. So it doesn't make it any worse if he put another tuchutim of tzemer, that I understand. So therefore you're allowed to put in tuchutim in a beged shal tzemer, tuchutim of pishtan. How do they jump from that to that? It's complicated. Not so glatt at all. Amuchudish dikar rabbein etam. Yeah, the Netziv wants to say in his commentary on the Shultas, he has a suggestion. He thinks maybe this was an old machloikas in the days of the Tanoim. Whether he says it's a fundamental machloikas between the Rabbeinu Tam on the one hand and the Rambam and the Raiben on the other. The Rambam and the Raiben hold that the whole role of Tchelis is only to make krichas, to wind around. And the Rabbeinu Tam holds no. There are two parts to the tzitzis. There's Tchelis and Lavan, two equal parts to the tzitzis. The Rambam and the Raiben hold no. You just, the Tchelis is only for the purpose of making krichas. All you need is one string, but they argue one string out of eight and one string out of four. That's a detail, machlokes, but in principle they say the same. Basically, the mitzvah tzitzis is lavan, and tchelis is only for the purpose of winding around. So that's what Rabbi Blau, the Mashgiach, suggested, that there's another machlokes harishonim, how you're supposed to wind around. When you have tchelis on lavan, how you're supposed to wrap it around. So the Rambam says everything you wrap around is all blue. Just the first time you wrap around, the last wrap around is white, and everything in between is all blue, blue, blue. And Tosfos says not so. You alternate. You put three white and three blue and three white and three blue. You keep on alternating. So Rabbi Blau explained that this is the way the Netziv explained. This is the Netziv doesn't say this, but then he added on the Hemshech. Others say this as well, same as Rabbi Blau. That this is Lishitasim. According to the Rambam, the role of Tchelis is only for the purpose of Kricha. So the Rambam and the Rabbi say you only need one string to wind around. But according to Tosfos, it's not for the purpose of the Krichas. The two parts to the Tzitzis, the Tchelis and the Lavan. So the Krichas should be evenly divided. Half of the Krichas should be Tchelis, half of the Krichas should be Lavan. You alternate, you have white and blue, and white and blue, you keep on alternating back and forth. Different versions, how you alternate. Alternate 1-1-1-1, white, blue, 1-blue, 1-1-1-1, or you say 3 white and 3 blue and 3 white and 3 blue, because 3 constitutes a chulya. You have to have a minimum of 3 to be considered a chulya. Okay, details. So this is in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rabbeinu Tam. So the question is, did they paskan like the Rabbeinu Tam, or they quoted only the Rabbeinu Tam, the Chumrah? Where do they quote the Rabbeinu Tam? There's the Gemara, Gardumei Tchelis. Gardumei means at a tour. I started off with tzitzis. The tzitzis has to have a certain minimum length. What's the minimum length? So the Gemara says 4 agudlin. 4 agudlin is less than 4 inches. Whoever has such short tzitzis. So there's a machlekes harishonim. Some rishonim say, that's it. 4 inches long, that's all you have to have. We assume that it doesn't. We are machmer. Mikra din, that's how we pass them, 4 inches long. Well, we are machmer on that. We say, you have to have 1/3 and 2/3. That's noyim mitzvah. 1/3 should be wound around and 2/3 should be loose. So the 1/3 that's wound around, that should be 4 agudlin. And 2/3 is twice as big as that. That should be 8 agudlin. So 8 and 4 is 12. So l'chatchila, the string from the beged, from the top knot till the bottom of the string should be 12 agudlin. So that's what we do, l'chatchila. So let's say you made tzitzis, and at the time you tied the tzitzis on the beged, you had 12 inches. You had 12 agudlin. And then afterwards, because you sit on a nail or something, so some of the tzitzis gets caught in the chair, so some of the strings rip. So now not all the strings are still 12 inches long. They're not all 12 agudlan long. So the Gemara calls that gardume. Gardume means it truncated. It started off the hechsher, and it got ripped later on. So the Gemara says it's good. If it started off the hechsher and it became shorter later on, that's acceptable. Gardume tefillin is no good. Let's say the ritzuas have to have a certain minimum length. The Gemara says how long the shalyan has to be. And Taisa quotes the Shimusha Rabbah, how long the shalrosh ritzuas have to be. So let's say you start off with the shalyad with the correct length, and then the ritzua ripped and it's no longer the right length. So the Gemara says gardume tefillin is no good. But gadumi tzitzis is good. Why is there a difference? So the Gemara says, this is tashmishi kedusha, this is tashmishi mitzvah. Why that should explain it is problematic, but that's what the Gemara says. So the Rabbeinu Tam reads in the Gemara, Menachas, he interprets in the Gemara, the only time gardumi is good by tzitzis is like this, you have two long strings of blue, two long strings of white, and one set is b'lushleimusam, let's say the two white are shleimim, and the tchelis ripped. One or two of the tchelis ripped. Or the tchelis abishleimusam and one or two of the lovans ripped. So if one of the components, one of the two, the tchelis, one of them is bishleimusam and the other one tour, then it's gardumi is good. But let's say three strings ripped. Originally all the strings had the right length, and now only one string has the right length. Three out of the four strings no longer have the proper length, and the Rabbeinu Tam says that it's not acceptable. So this Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So it could be the Rabbeinu Tam is only quoted lechumra, that you're machma like the Rabbeinu Tam, that you have to have two strings bishlei musam, so that the other two that are gardume, that got torn off, that ripped a little bit, that they should be acceptable. Yeah, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes in more cases. The Mishnah Berurah seems to be, he quotes from the Malbim. The Malbim wrote a sefer Artzus Achaim in the beginning of Arachim. The Malbim was a big poisek. And then something happened, and he only stayed in Tanakh. And he lost out. He said the story goes that when he went to the, when he wrote his Sefer, he went to the Chasam Sefer for a Haskama on the Sefer. So he was there for Shabbos, and they spoke and learning. And then they didn't have any electric lights then. They didn't have any candles that were burning all day. So when they came back after Shabbos was over, they came back to Dav Ma'ariv in Shul, Amitzoy Shabbos, so it was dark. So the whole Shabbos, the Malbim was sitting, Malbim was a young man, was sitting next to the Chasam Sofer, who was considerably older than him. So by mistake, the Malbim sat down in the Rav's seat, because it was dark in the shul. He didn't know exactly where he was sitting. So when the Balabatim realized that he's sitting in the Rabbi's seat, so they said, young man, get up, you're sitting in the Rabbi's seat. So he was in a trance, he didn't realize, he was thinking, learning, he didn't realize what was going on. So the Chasam Sofer said, let him stay, it's okay. So he said, let him stay. So when the Malbim woke up from his trance and he realized what had happened, so he took it as if it was a curse. Let him stay on the level of learning that he is now. He said, from that time on, he didn't advance in learning. He was one of the big poskim in that generation. From that time on, he remained in Tanakh. So he went down in history as being famous for Tanakh. But he wrote the Sefer Artzus Achaim in the beginning of Baruch Haim. He has Hilchos Tzitzis. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes every so often from the Artzus Achaim. So he quotes here also, B'shem Artzus Achaim. Let's say I have a beged from silk. So the Gemara says I can use chutim of tzemer or chutim of silk. If you have a beged of tzemer, you can't use silk chutim. If the beged is silk or the beged is cotton, you can use cotton strings. So let's say I have a cotton beged or I have a silk beged. I want to use some strings cotton and some strings wool. Is that acceptable? If I put wool is good. If I put cotton on a cotton beged is good. What if I have some of the strings are wool and some of the strings are cut? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Malbim. He thinks that if you have two and two, it's okay. Because they're two separate units. He's going all the way like the Rabbeinu Tam. The tzitzis has two parts to it. It has the two long strings are tchelis, two long strings are lovan. And even Mizman, that for so many generations that people didn't use tchelis, still you need four strings, two keneged tchelis and two keneged the lovan. So the two different units, each unit has to be consistent. So you can have two long strings of cotton and two long strings of wool, but you can't have three in one, because you can't combine hair from this din and hair from the other din. So the Malbim, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, seems to be assuming that that's the halacha, like the Rabbeinu Tam, that you have to have two and two. You have to have two long strings of tchelis and two long strings of lovan. And the tzitzis consist of two different parts. Two different parts, yeah.
What precisely the difference between the Gerudim Tefillin and Gerudim Tzitzis?
The Gemara says the difference is, let's say I had Tefillin and right. They're no longer Merubayim. When I started, it was in a square shape and it got out of shape from use. So the Gemara says, just because it was kosher in the beginning doesn't help now. It has to maintain the Hechsher now, because that's Tashmishi Kedusha, as opposed to Tzitz, it's only Tashmishi Mitzvah. So therefore what? How does that explain it? So it leaves a lot to be desired. So Rabbi Chanan has an essay, tries to explain what it means. Why should that play a role? Just because one is Tashmishi Kedusha, one is Tashmishi Mitzvah. One of the Hungarian Gedolim from before the war, from 100 years ago, writes, what if you had ritzuas that were the width? There's a minimum width that the ritzuas have to be. The Gemara never says it. It's only known from the Shemusha Rabbah. Shemusha Rabbah is a sefer that was written in the days of the Gaonim that has traditions from the Amoraim that we don't have from the Gemara. They recorded the oral tradition. They wrote it down. Tosfos quotes a lot from the Shemusha Rabbah, the Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch. They quote a lot from the Shemusha Rabbah. So the Shemusha Rabbah has this halacha that we don't have any other source for, that the ritzuas have to be a minimum width of kisaora, a barley grain. How much is a barley grain? So they quote in the name of Rav Moshe, half an inch. Half an inch is enough. So what if I start off with ritzuas that are very wide, and if I lay tefillin every day, the ritzuas keep on shrinking and shrinking. By usage, it gets rubbed out a little bit. So by the time, 20 years later, the ritzuas are not going to be a half an inch wide. So one of the Hungarian Rabbanim wrote, since the whole need for kisora, the width of a kisora, doesn't say in the Gemara, it's only a chumra from the Shemusha Rabbah, so they we would say gaduma is good. Since in the beginning it had the half an inch, even though now no longer has a half an inch, that would be acceptable. Rav Moshe doesn't seem to agree. They quote the name Rav Moshe, the ritzuas have to maintain the width of a half an inch. Even though in the beginning it had the width, but if later on, because of use, It wore off and it's less than half an inch wide, it wouldn't be good, because the Gemara says you don't say gardume. Gardume doesn't apply to tefillin because it's tashmishi kedusha.
When we say that missing words, it's going to stay kosher. Is that weighing on it? Saying tashmishi kedusha
doesn't have it. No, never had the words. Not that it once had the words and it became rubbed out. It never had the words. It's still good. No, that's a question whether is it a special kula? It's unclear in the Tshuvas HaRidva, he touches on this. Is that a special kula Megillas Esther? As long as you have 51% written Ruba Kukulai, that's because Nikri Sefer and Nikri Sigeris. On the one hand, it's a Sefer from the Kisri HaKodesh, one of the Choftal Tzvarim. On the other hand, Nikri Sigeris should really be Torah Shebal Peh, because that's when they're on the Kapil of Torah Shebal Peh. The Megillas Esther is when the Akim of the Kiblu, they reaccepted the Torah Shebal Peh again. So is it because Nikri Sefer and Nikri Sigeris that were Mekel, and it wouldn't apply to all the other Sefer HaTanach? That's the Elaining of Haftorah in Shul, from Yeshaya, from Yirmiyah, from Yecheskel, and it's missing letters here and there. So would you also say that as long as Nichtav Ruba it's acceptable, or is that only a Kula in Megillas Esther? So that's a Stira Minei Bey in the Tshuvas of the Ritva, one Tshuvah. So he writes, the kula is only, the leniency is only by Megillas Esther because Nikra Sefer and Nikra Sigeris were Mekel. And then the next line, he says, not so. He says, it's only a Chumra and a Sefer Torah. Rav Soloveitchik was a Masupik about that. Is it only a kula Megillas Esther? Doesn't apply to the other 23 Svarim? Or it's only a Chumra and a Sefer Torah, perhaps, because it says, Vayikachalas Moshe Lichtav is called about Torah Zos Ad Tuma. So Ad Tuma means he wrote every single letter. Afilo Isachas is Likuva. The Rambam writes. The Rambam writes like that. So that's unclear. Is the Yetzim and HaKlal is the Megillah, and all the other 23 Svarim need every letter written, or the Yetzim and HaKlal is the Sefer Torah, because it says Atumam, and the other Svarim, all the other 18 Svarim of the Tanakh, we would be Mekel if it's Nichtav Ruboy. And that's a steer in the Tshuvas HaRidva.
Okay. Can I check the Tanakh candles that they say, like,
even out, as long as the tefillah, it had like enough to last. Right. No, tzitzis has to, if the tzitzis get ripped off, so you're not yaitzei. The gadume has to be kadei anivo, you still need a little bit. There's a limit, by hadlokas naris chanke, it goes out completely. And you still say, kof sein and zokoklo. That's a different din. The Shulchan Aruch puts it together with Adlaka Isa Mitzvah. The Gemara has a Shaila, has a Machlokes. How does one fulfill the Mitzvah of Hadlaka and Eretz Chanuk? They say Hadlaka is the Mitzvah, Hanocha is the Mitzvah. What's a Nafkamina? So the Gemara's Nafkamina is, what if Acherisha to be cut and do the Hadlaka? So he can't. Mishenim Bechuy Bedover and Emotia Sachem Adechai Vasan. So the Acherisha to be cut is not Bechuy Bedover, he can't be Motzi me. So what if he lit it l'shem ne'achanuk, I pick it up and I put it down. So if you hold hanocha is a mitzvah, so I did the mitzvah, I picked it up and put it down l'shem ne'achanuk. I'm yotze. But if you hold the way we pass on hadlaka is a mitzvah, so look at cherusha to a cotton, it's not going to help if I'm going to pick it up and put it down. I have to blow it out and light it all over again. So that's what the Gemara says, hadlaka is a mitzvah, and look at cherusha to a cotton is no good. So the Shulchan Aruch presents it, hadlaka is a mitzvah, and therefore kapsa enu zokoklo. The Gemara never linked the two together. These are two different sugyas, a blot Gemara apart from each other. Kopsa, if the Ner Chanukah goes out, is it Zokokluk? They have to rekindle it, that it should burn for the full amount of time. Or Kopsa ain't a Zokokluk. Then later, a daf and a half later, there's the discussion of Hadlokas Mitzvah, Hanokas Mitzvah. The Mechaba sounds like it makes sense. Why shouldn't it have been connected? The Gemara should have put it together, but we don't know why. The Gemara didn't put it together. And the Mechaber writes like that, since Hadlaka is a mitzvah, so therefore, Kopsa ain't a Zokoklo, because you already did your Hadlaka, you're not Mechayev to do more. Then the Mechaber quotes the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Trumas Hadesh, and even on Friday afternoon, and you lit the Ner Chanukah before Shabbos, and it went out before Shkia. See, not that you really should have it burn for half an hour after Tzeis HaKacham to have maximum Pisum Inisa, but if it burned for 10 minutes after the Tzeis HaKacham, so he got partial Pisum Inisa, but he got zero Pisum Inisa. He lit it on Erev Shabbos, and then it went out 10 minutes later before the Shkia. So he didn't begin to have any Pisum Inisa. In the daytime, nobody can see it. Gemara says, Shraga B'tihara Mayahani. If you have a candle at high noon, when the sun is shining and it floods the whole city with sunlight, so that's not called an air. So there's only Pisum Inisa when it comes to nighttime. So a Kofsa on Erev Chanukah didn't even burn 5 minutes into the Tzeis HaKacham. And it's you aren't Mekabel Shabbos yet, so why shouldn't you light it again? So the Mechaber said, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Trumas Hadesh, and you don't have to. Others disagree. Other the Taz disagrees. He said, you have to light it, because he understands Kofsa Einu Zokoklo. You had a partial Pisum Inisa. It was burning for 10 minutes. So some of the people saw it, even though you didn't have the full amount of people see it or could have theoretically seen it, if it would have burned for the whole half hour, but you had a partial Pisum Inisa. But in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Trumas Hadesh, and even if Kofsa on Erev Shabbos, you didn't begin to have any Kiyum of Pisum Inisa. Still, Hadlaka is a mitzvah, and you did your Hadlaka. Goodbye. Hadlaka is a mitzvah, and therefore Kofsa ain't a Zokoklo. That's like the Trumas Hadesh holds. Even Kofsa on Erev Shabbos. Also in the Zakat Club, because Hadlaka is a mitzvah. He did the Hadlaka already, so you're not mechuyev to do more.
Maybe you could say that it's a partial kiyum mitzvah.
I don't know. I think in Shulchan Aruch they quote this opinion that since on Erev Shabbos you have no choice, you can't light the Erev Shabbos, can't light the Erev Chanukah after the Shkia, because we machmer that after the Shkia is already the beginning of Be'erash Moshe. So therefore we allow you to light after Plaga Mincha. And then in Shulchan Aruch there's a machlokes. What about the other days of Chanukah? Would you also allow B'shas Ratak? Would you allow the person to light after Plaga Mincha? So even if you already can light after Plaga Mincha, it's Shraga B'tihara. You don't have any Pisum Inisa till it comes. Even they would hold has to burn a half an hour after Tzeis HaKachavim. It's not that you have a partial Kima Mitzvah now. You have no Kima Mitzvah. It's the Maisa Mitzvah now. The Adloka is a Mitzvah, that's the Maisa Mitzvah. And the Kima will be later. Have to leave such long candles or so much oil that it should burn a half an hour after the Tzeis HaKachavim. Even if you already can be madlik after Plaga Mincha. Anyway, so this is an important Tosfos. This Tosfos Amem Amaral with Rabbi Natam Shita. This is fantastic. Two chutim of Trelis, not like the Rambam or the Rabbi, two chutim. And the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rabbi Natam, two and two. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Arts of Sachaim that he follows all the way the Rabbein Tam, two and two. He doesn't consider the Rambam and the Raivin. Yeah. And then he says that Nigud, that two we allowed to put Shatnas because as the Dechala says, he absolutely came shame. So the other two are not going to pose a problem. Doesn't make it a bigger violation of Shatnas. And the mele two chutim of pishton and a beggar shaltem is also mutter. That jump is problematic. That's what Rabbeinu Tam holds. That kliyim and tzitzis is duchuya and hutra. Two chutim is duchuya and two chutim is hutra. Wild. Two chutim is duchuya, two chutim is hutra. Rashi and Chumash on Parshas Yisro and Zochar Siyamash Labas Lakatra quotes from the Tanoim and the Mechilta. Zochar Vishama B'di Berecha Demru. The Gemara has that. Ma'ashein Ape Yechol L'Dabba V'lo Hois and Yechol L'Shmoya. So the Gemara says we have a din of a Hekesh. Whenever you have a Pasuk that has two dinim appearing in the same Pasuk, that's called a Hekesh. Here the Gemara has a Hekesh. You have two words in the same Pasuk. Chiyim Karish is Bito Le'omo. Here on Mem Amid Beis, 10 lines from the top. How do you know that the father is entitled to Maisi Odeho of the daughter? That the father is entitled to Maisi Odeho of Aktana, that's obvious. The Torah says he has a right to sell it as an Amo Hevriya. So how can he sell something if he doesn't, if he's not the Balabas? So the fact that he sells the right to Maisi Odeho to the Odon shows that he is the Balabas, that Maisi Odeho of Aktana goes to the father. The Gemara was asking, how do you know Maisi Odeho of a Naira, the next 6 months? The father cannot sell her when she's a Naira. Can only sell her b'katnusa. Once she reaches Naira, she's Yotze L'cheres. And still, Maisi Odeho li'aviyah during Naira, how do you know? So the Gemara says, because of the Hekesh. Because the Hekesh is bitoy le'omo. So that's a Hekesh. Ma'omo. Maisi Odeho li'rabo, afbas. That's called the Hekesh. When you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, you have two dinim written and two psukim that are next to each other, like you have the mitzvah of tzitzis, gdilim tas ochala b'kafes chuschusko shetachasabo, and then it says you shouldn't wear shatnas. Those are two psukim next to each other, so the reason why we darshan smuchim, because Mishnah Torah is different. That's the Gemara in the beginning of Yevamos. The Chumash Dvarim, we darshan smuchim, and the rest of the Chamisha Chumash Torah, the Abuach HaMushe Torah, we only darshan hekesh, if the two dinim written in the same pasuk. So here the Gemara says, Zoch v'shamu proclaims simultaneously, Hashem ha'pei yichol l'adab v'lohoz in yichol l'shma, so that has a din like a hekesh. So the mind of Kamina with the hekesh between Zoch v'shamar. So shamar means shmira Shabbos. Shmira Shabbos means one who doesn't do malacha. Zoch means kiddush, lahazakir, to mention kedusha sayayim of Shabbos. The Gemara says that even though Kiddush should have been a mitzvah saseh shas man grama, women should have been pater, it's one of the exceptions to the rule women are chayiv, because Zocha v'shamar b'di b'recha nemru, it's a hekesh. So since shamar is a loy saseh, whenever it says yishamar pen v'yal, it's a lav, a loy saseh, and a loy saseh shas man grama no shemachiv. Hishva kosevi shalish l'chol onchin shabbatar. Onchin means loy saseh. So even a loy saseh shas man grama, women are chayiv, so kol sheyeshnem b'shamar, yeshnem b'zochas, and mele, the women are just as obligated as the men are in connection with Kiddush. Kiddush is one of the many exceptions to the rule that despite the fact that it's a zman grama, the women are mechuyev. What's another exception? Hakel. Hakel says, ha'nashem ha'nashem ha'taf. The women are also mechuyev in Hakel. What about Simchas Yontif? Simchas Yontif says, So and the Almana is also a woman. The Almana is a woman. So this machlokes is Hatanaim in the first paragraph in Chagiga and in Kiddush in the first paragraph also. Does the Pasuk indicate to us that women are mechuyev in Simchas Yontif despite the fact that it's a Zman Grama? It's another exception to the rule, like Hakel and like Kiddush. Or should I say no? Isha baila misamcha. The woman per se is not mechuyev in simcha. The men are mechuyev in simcha. Part of their chiyev simcha is that they should have basa v'yayin. And baila misamcha, the husband should cheer up his wife. The husband should buy new clothes for his wife. L'kavi yantam. He should give his wife. He should bring her. He should buy a ticket for her. She should go to Yerushalayim also, and she should also participate in the korban shlamim, to eat the basar korbanis. So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raibit had the paskin, where the women are mechuyev in simcha or not. Is that an exception to the rule? Yeah. So in the Gemara you have Zocha v'shama b'di b'recha nemru, when you get to bringing out this idea that Zocha v'shama, since they were b'di b'recha, they're not in the same place in Chumash. Zocha is in, Zocha v'shama b'di b'recha is in Yisro, and Shomer is in Vayeschanan. But because they were proclaimed with Dibur Echad, so they have the status like a Hekish, because Yeshta Mesham, Yeshta Mezachah, so women are Mechid in Kiddush. Rashi, in his commentary on the Torah in Parshas Yisro, quotes a Mechilta that says, Zachu Vesham, Dibur Echad Nemru, and the Mechilta continues to say, and the same is true regarding Klaim B'Tzitzis and Gedilim Tasalacha, that Tzitzis and Klaim, and Yevama Yavo Aleha with the Yisir Eshesach. They were b'dibur echad nemru. What do you mean? Eshesach with Yibum was said b'dibur echad. What does it mean b'dibur echad? So Rav Soloveitchik thought that what it meant was that these are all hutra. Tosfos in Yibum says like that, that the fact that the Yavam is permitted to be bual yevimto, see eshesach, eshesach shalavam makim mitzvah. If they have children, it's an isa kares. But if they don't have children, then it's mutar. So zad dechuya, the mitzvah of Yibum is doicha the isa kares. You never have essay is not doichal assess a sheish b'koris. So Rabbi Taisa says, no, it's hutra. The b'makam yibum, the whole isa of eshesach is hutra. Rav Soloveitchik thought that's what it means, b'dibur echad nemru, because Rashi and Brochus and Achof explains what's the difference between hutra and dechuya. So he says, hutra means melechatchila, when the prohibition was formulated, it never applied in this case. And dechuya means, no, the prohibition was formulated, it applies. But we have another pasuk. This pasuk takes precedence over that pasuk. And hutra means melechatchila, when the issa was formulated, never applied here at all. So if Rashi quotes the Mechilta that Eshesach and Yibum were given b'dibur echad, it means from the very outset, when the prohibition of Eshesach was formulated, it never applied b'makam Yibum. It means that it's hutra as opposed to tchuya. So then Rashi also quotes from the Mechilta another example of b'dibur echad nemru was issa shatnes. But the mitzvah to put in tchelus and the begin shal pishton. So from the way it seems from the Mechilta, klein b'tzitzis is hutra. It's not the chuyah. That's what Abin and Tam says. Klein b'tzitzis is hutra. But how can the Gemara learn out Eser Dechel Esese if klein b'tzitzis is hutra? So he came up with this fantastic shtigl tar. He puts all the Gemaras together like that ri. And the Tosfos Lamed Ches puts all the Gemaras together and he made one miksha achas, one shtigl tar. So he says, two chutim a hutra and two chutim a tchuya. Wow. Fantastic. Yeah.
Could we bring a riot that it's hutra from the fact that you're allowed to, after, if you got divorced here, you're allowed to remarry her? If it was only the chuya, for sure it would be also.
If it's only the chuya, it should be only be a rishayna, it should
yeah,
be mutter.
Yeah.
Right. That's what Tosfos, that's Tosfos riot. That is exactly Tosfos riot. Correct. Yes.
What about
Eric and
Aaron?
What about what?
Where the brother married
your
daughter. So
there
we don't allow it.
If my brother's married to my daughter, yeah.
So then
your dad
don't allow you to be
your daughter,
but it's a
chutzah. No, only the Yisra Eshesach is chutzah, not the Yisra Bito. Eshesach was b'dibur brecha nemru together with Yevama Yavala. Rashi quotes also, from the Mechilta, Rashi quotes in Mechilta, Kol Malocha Lo Yisasu, and V'yom HaShem B'Shnei Chvasim and Nishon Et Mimim. That you're allowed to bring Karbonis Tzibur, Shazmanim Kavu, you're allowed to be Doicha Shabbos. That's a Gemara in Yuma, that Karbonis Tzibur, that a Doicha Shabbos is Hutra. That's a Beferish Gemara, it's not Chuy, it's Hutra. Rav Shavayichik thought that that's what the Mechilta that Rashi quoted was driving at. All the things that were Nemer, B'di Berechod, means that it's Hutra. Except for the Zohar V'Shama, that the Gemara says, Dibur Echad Nemru is to teach you Kol Sheyeshtem B'Shama Yeshtem Mezocha, that women are mechuyev in Kiddush, Dvar Torah. Yeah, we had a fantastic Kiddush in the Gemara here on Lamed Tesam and Beis. What's the din? The Mefate has to pay Hamishim Shekel Kesef. So the Pasuk says, the onus is b'chuyiv to marry the girl. Lo si li'isha lo yuchol l'sham, not allowed to send her. The mefatan is not b'chuyiv to, but in the event that he marries the girl, then he doesn't have to pay the knas. If he doesn't marry the girl, as if the girl doesn't want to marry him, if he doesn't marry the girl, then he has to pay the knas. So the Gemara comments on the kefa loshin and the pasuk. There's machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel with a dibur Torah k'lashon b'nei adam. A low dibur Torah k'lashon b'yadam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word and letter for letter. Did he dictate it in Lashon b'yadam? People, when they speak, say a lot of extra words that are unnecessary. So Do we have the right to assume that there are extra words in the Chumash that don't teach us anything halacha l'maisa? Or should we assume that every letter and every word has some significance? We assume every letter. We're darshaning a missing letter, na'ara. We're darshaning every letter, every word. That's because we follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion that lo diber Torah kedushan b'nei adam. Whenever you have the shonis kfulim, hanik taning, dosen titain, pasach tiftach, mos yumos, whenever there's a kefal oshan, you darshan something. And Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. He says, diber Torah kedushan b'nei adam, you have no right to darshan anything. So we hold, we follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Every time there's a kefal oshan, it means something. So here it says, Imoin yemoin avir l'sita lo, kesav yishkol kamor habasulos. In Parashas Mishpatim, it says by mefata. It says if the mefata marries the girl, he doesn't have to pay the knas. If he doesn't marry the girl, imoin yemoin avir l'sita lo kesav yishkol, then he has to pay kamor habasulos. He pays the chamishim shekel kesav. Why does he write imoin yemoin? What's the relevance of writing twice? So the Gemara says ein li'elo aviho. I don't know, he atzma minayin. Not only if the father refuses, we're talking, the fellow is mefata anayra besula. Mefata anayra besula, so when a girl is a ketana anayra, she can't marry herself off. The father is the sole balabas to marry his daughter off till she becomes a bogeris. Once she's a bogeris, she's what we call the yisame b'chayavir, she's on her own. Alpidin, the father has no schusim at all. Ma'aseh Adel Avir ends at Bagrus, Haforos and Dorim ends at Bagrus, everything ends. So the ability to marry her off also ends at Bagrus. So the Gemara says, Ein li elo aviho, the father is a balabos to decide whom she should marry. So if the father refuses to let the mefata marry the daughter, he's not going to marry her. Well, he atzma minayin, how do you know that even if the girl refuses to marry him, the father says, I'm going to marry you off to this man whether you like it or not. And he's going to shtelach up. It's a stupid thing to marry his daughter off if she can't stand the man. The man attacked her. He was mefat to her. But still, if the father wants to marry her off, the girl will be unhappily married. Okay, she'll suffer in the marriage. So the Gemara has a drasha. Ein li elo aviho. If the father's the balabos and he says he doesn't want her to get married, he atzma minayin. How do you know that even if the father does want to marry her off to the mefata and she doesn't want, Kamash Malon, it says, moin yimoin. So what do you mean, moin yimoin? If she says she doesn't want, so the marriage is not chal. So Taisa says, no. The father, ha'av, mate, ha'av, the Kaddish is bito ktano, she nara. The father's ha'av, mekabla kedusha, bito ktano, nara. She doesn't have a say. It's stupid. It's not smart that the father should marry off the daughter. She doesn't want to marry him. But al pidin, if the father marries her off, she's Mukadesh's him. So what did the Gemara say? Moin yivoin, en yelo aviho. He mean ayin. So the Dvala Tesis explains en yelo, Allah Matesim and base. What it means is, even though her refusal to marry the Mefata is lamala v'lamorid, it's not going to get her anywhere, because the father's das is the only thing that counts over here. Still, the Pasuk tells me, if she doesn't want, so then there's no din of... Then if she doesn't want to marry him, even though the father is going to marry her off to him, so then she's entitled to collect the oinus, the mefata money. It's a tricky din. So they can make up amongst themselves. If the mefata marries the girl, he doesn't pay the money, the knas. So the father will tell his daughter, scream bloody murder, you don't want to marry him, so we're going to collect the knas, and I'm going to marry you up to him. He's a nice guy. He shouldn't have been mefata you. The girl will say, okay. So the father will make money on it. So you're leaving room for haram over here. The girl's going to put on an act that she's going, I don't want to marry him. And she dearly, she was going to marry him. So Ms. Dhamma, they'll have a psychologist interview the girl separately. But if she screams bloody murder, she puts on a good act, and she fools the psychologist into believing that she really doesn't want it. And then he's going to ask her, so why is your father so mean to you? Why is he marrying up? She's going to keep it a secret the whole time that the father's really mean. She's not going to tell the truth that she's madly in love with the guy and she does want to marry him. So there's room for harama here. The girl will say, I don't want to marry him in order the father should collect the mefata money, and then she will marry him.
Huh? In unquestionable love.
Could be. Okay.
What did
she
get
out? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So that's how Taisus learns Shat and Nigamar.
What would be the problem?
Okay. Anachana? That's the locus? Yeah. Yeah, the Gemara here established halacha. We learned the Gemara Mem Amud Beis, 10 lines from the top. The Gemara establishes that the father is entitled to Maisa Adah of his daughter, not only when she's a ketana. That's elementary. He can sell her as an Omer Hivriya, that Maisa Adah should be La'odom. So obviously Maisa Adah is to the father, otherwise how can he sell her? But the question is, the girl goes free at Nairus. How do you know it even during the 6 months of Nairus, the Maisa Adah Li'avir? So that the Gemara needed a new pasuk. Kim Karish is Bito L'Oma Hekesh, that the word Bito is next to the word Oma. Oma Maisa Adah La'odom Af Bito Maisa Adah is Li'avir. So the Gemara says, what do you need a new pasuk? Why don't you just learn out Binareo Beis Avia? Kol Shvach Niyorm La'Avia. Gemara says, no, Binareo Beis Avia is in the context of Haforas Nedorm, that the father has the ability to be Meif in Nedorm, and you cannot derive anything in the area of Dinei Mamonis from Haforas Nedorm, because we have a rule, Mamonimi Yisura Lo Yafinum. So we pointed out on different occasions, Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon quote in the name of the Gra based on the pasuk Ki Bon Mincha Davar LaMishpat BeDam LeDam BeDin LeDin BeNega LeNega. So they quote in Aderes Eliyahu on that pasuk. Aderes Eliyahu was written by the Talmidim HaGra, and then the children of the Vilna Gaon quote this in the introduction to the Bir Agron Arachaim, that the Gra said in this pasuk Kandi LaHatara Kol Gimel Chelki Hatar. There's Tumah VeTara, there's Isa VeHeter, and there's Dini Mamonis. These are three different areas of halacha. So it says, Kipon Mim Chadova, whether Bein Dam Ladam, that's Isa Vehetet, whether the woman is Dam Nid or not, Bein Din Ladin is Dini Mamonis, and Bein Nega Laneg is Tumma Vitara. So within each area of halacha, Mein Ayubay, within Dini Mamonis, within Isa Vehetet, or within Tumma Vitara, you can learn out Midin Echad Lachavei, right? That's a Mamatzinu. And then you have Kal Vachayim Midin Echad Lachavei. Shagazari HaChadoshes, in the Chuvas HaChadoshes, has a whole section about Chadosh. So he talks about this, that the two types of Kal V'chaymer. There's Kal V'chaymer Minei Yubay within the same din in order to set up the system of this halacha. Then there's Kal V'chaymer Midin Echa Lachaver, from one parsha to the other. From Karen to Shem Beregel, you can have a Kal V'chaymer. Then you can have a Kal V'chaymer Minei Yubay. So he says there'll be a difference. The Gemara has, if you have a halacha L'moshe Misinai, ain't done in Kal V'chaymer Me Halacha. He cannot extend halacha l'moshe misina to another case based on a kal v'chaymer. The midrash alternate reshes bam only apply on Torah shebichzav. You can't take halacha l'moshe misina and extend it to another case based on a kal v'chaymer. So the Shagas Aryeh says that's only a kal v'chaymer midin echad l'chaver, but a kal v'chaymer minei yubay, that's a better kind, different kind of a kal v'chaymer that works even on a halacha l'moshe misina. So what is the premise of a mamatzina midin echad l'chaver, kal v'chaymer midin echad l'chaver? Well, you have an example of a mamatzino. I always give this example. It says you have to use atishitim omdim. And they made the krushim for the Mishkan. The trees grew like this, so they had to use them like this. They couldn't put it like this, and they couldn't put it like this. Because it grew like this, atishitim omdim, kedera kedi losim. So from that pasuk, atishitim omdim, you learn out that the lulav and the esrog and the hadasim and the aravis have to be held kedera kedi losim. Whenever the halacha requires, you have to use a natural item that grows from the ground, has to be kederach d'ilosim. When you make a wooden Aron Kodesh, you don't have to have the wood kederach d'ilosim. You didn't have to make a wooden Aron Kodesh. You could have made it from plastic. You could have made it from metal. So even if you want to use from wood, it does not have to be kederach d'ilosim. But whenever the halacha requires, has to be something that grew from the ground, has to be kederach d'ilosim. So that's a mamad zina midin echad l'chavera. That's esedech alosese. We derive from climate tzitzis the kolat harakulam. So these klolim, you learn at midin echad l'chaver is based on the assumption that kol ha'tara kula inyan echad, all the dinim fit into one big pattern. So that's what the Gemara says. There are three different areas. Each one has its own pattern. Dinim mamonis is one system. Dinim isa v'hetav is another system. And tumah v'tara is another system. So the Gemara has the klal mamonim isura lo yafinam. The Gemara has similarly isura mimamana lo yafinam, because these are two different areas of halacha. Then the Gemara has in Yevamos and Perek Mitzvos Chalitza, Isa mituma lo yafinu, because tuma v'tar is one area, and Isa v'heta is a different area. There are three distinct areas. Isa v'heta, tuma v'tara, and dini mamonis. So that's what the Gemara says. The pasuk, the original pasuk, b'nureo beis avia, says in the context in the middle of the parsha of Haforas Nedarim. So that's Isa v'heta. So you can't establish, you can't derive from there to dini mamonis that Maisi adeh le'avia, Kol shvach niram nevim. No, mamayna me yisura lo yafinam. That pasuk goes on isa v'heter, doesn't necessarily apply at all to dini mamnas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so that otherwise I'm saying we could have just asked the same question on the Hekesh also, right? That, you know, how do you make the Maisei Dago to the master? That's when she is a Katana. So how do you ask, how do you say from there that it goes to the Nana? But the advantage of the Hekesh is that you can't ask that question.
No, Mama Tzina, you're saying on your own. Mama Tzina, I'm saying everything fits into one pattern. So you say there's a different pattern for Didi Mamanas and a different pattern for Issa the Heta. But here, if you have a Hekesh, so what is there to be done? It says, Bito, the Kehim Kirish is Bito la Oma, just like Oma Ria, Masiyada la Oda, and go to Abbas. She's still my daughter up until Bagrus. She's still Bishusi. What Taina can you argue over here?
That, I mean, the case where the master gets it is when she's up until when she's a Nara, right?
Up until a Nara, that I know from the fact that he can sell her as an Amo Hebrea. So that's elementary, the Gemara says. That I know that Maisei Adav, a Ketana is Liavia. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to sell her as an Amo Hebrea. So the Pasuk that tells me the Hekesh, Ma Amo Hebrea Maisei Adav La Odoin, Af Bas Maisei Adav La Avia, has to go on a gedola, has to go on a naira already when he can't sell it.
I'm saying, but couldn't you have asked that it's not a comparison? We're saying that the maestro that goes to the master, that's when she's before she's an ar, and you're trying to now tell me that it's telling you that the maestro that goes to the father even when she is an ar? Couldn't you have asked that?
Maestro that goes to the master when there's a master. When she becomes a naira, she's a yotzei lecheres. So that's why it doesn't go to the master. She doesn't have an adon. But the daughter is a daughter till she becomes a bageres. Once she becomes a bageres, we're not related anymore. She's Bishus Atzma. She's a Yisrael Mevachai Yavir. You're learning out. Bas is like an Amma. Just like an Amma, Kozman, she's an Amma. Till Nairus, Kozman, she's an Amma. Maisei Del Adon. So to the Bas, Kozman, she's my Bas. Up until Bagrus, so Maisei Del Avia.
And you have to come on to
I don't think so. I don't think so. The word we mentioned in connection with this Gemara, in Chumash it says that a man who's a Ptzua Daka is not permitted to marry a Jewish girl. He has to marry a Gioris. If a Gioris will agree to marry him, he's Ein Amoylik. He won't be able to have any children. So Ptzua Daka is not allowed to get married. So there are two versions. How do you spell the word Ptzua Daka? Daka, Dalet Chaf Aleph or Dalet Chaf Hei? In the dictionary, they're both correct spellings. Dalet Chaf Aleph is Aramaic spelling. Dalet Chaf Hei is Hebrew spelling. You have Aramaic words in the Chumash. It's unclear. So there are two traditions what the correct spelling is. So the poskim were bothered with the kasha. All the Sefer Torah in the world are Sofik Kosher, Sofik Posel. According to the Rambam, who paskin Sefer Torah Shachas or Isachas is Psula Ben Karimboy. Tosfos understood the Gemara literally. The Gemara says Sefer Torah Shachas Yiriyah Achas in Karimboy. It's missing a whole Yiriyah. A Yiriyah means from one stitch to the other, you have quite a few columns there. Minimum of three columns, three, four, five, six columns in the Yiriyah. So if there is Chosa Yiriyah, and I'm learning Parshas Miketz, is missing a Yiriyah in Parshas Vayichi. Is missing the Yiriyah from Parshas Miketz, of course you can't learn Parshas Miketz. It's not there. Missing Yiriyah somewhere else. So Tosis takes the Gemara literally, only Chosa Yiriyah. But the Rambam writes, say if there is Chosa Oysachas, that's the question, where's the Mokah for the Rambam? They say the Mokah is the Zohar. That's a question, did the Rambam really have access to the Zohar? The Rambam has, every so often, the Rambam has a line that the only source that's known to us is the Zohar. The Rambam says when you do chalitza, when the Yavama takes off the shoe from the Yavam's right foot, she should throw it away. Who says she has to throw it away? Maybe she puts it down on the floor. So that comes from the Zohar. So maybe the Rambam had access to the Zohar. Maybe the Rambam saw that was a tradition. He's describing that was the practice. Whenever they did a chalitza, she would take off the shoe and toss it away. That's a question. But the Rambam writes this, and it appears in the Zohar Sefer Torah Shachas Reisachas is psul of Ein Karimboy. So how can anybody say a bracha on Kiryas HaTorah? There's a 50-50 chance that your Sefer Torah is not kosher. Psul Adaka is a question whether it's spelled with a S, spelled with an O. So this is a problem. So the Minchas Chinuch has a suggestion, and That's the best suggestion that they gave so far. So that's the accepted answer. Minchas Chinuch says, so if Torah Shechaser Eisachas means if it's missing a letter or it has an incorrect spelling. What if it has a spelling which is correct according to the dictionary, but it's not necessarily in accordance with the Masorah, like the word Dako. If it's an Aramaic word, it's spelled with an Aleph. If it's Hebrew, it's spelled with a Hey. Both spellings are acceptable. But the Masorah has either an Aleph or a Hey. So your leaning, your Sefer Torah, is not, it doesn't have an incorrect spelling. If you have the name Noach spelled with a Chof instead of a Ches. So that's Chaser Esachas. Or Yiter Esachas. You have Noach, Nun, Vav, Yud, Aleph, Chof. So that's an incorrect spelling. In Yiddish, there's an expression. He spelled Noach with seven mistakes, with sieben greisen. But he didn't. Over here, he just has Ptzua Dako, so the Menchas Chinuch says the spelling is correct, doesn't correspond to the Masorah, so he thinks that's not possible. That Sefer Torah wouldn't be possible. Except, he says, if he's supposed to have a Kriya Ksiv, and he wrote Yishkaveno, and it's supposed to say Yishkaveno, he's supposed to, the Kriya is supposed to be Yishkaveno, and the Ksiv supposed to be Yishgaleno. So if you have a Kriya Ksiv, so that he thinks that's Halacha L'Moshe Messina. The Gemara says in Adar, Kriya Ksiv is Halacha L'Moshe Messina. So that'll passel. That has to be written exactly like that. Ashalochoma. Ashalochoma is spelled with an Aleph, Ashalochoma, and the Kriya is Ashalochoma with a Vav. Ashalochoma, Lamed Vav. Lochoma. So if he spelled it Lamed Vav instead of Lamed Aleph, that's supposed to be a Kriya Ksiv. The Gemara says, we darshan Halacha for that Kriya Ksiv. So that'll passel. But if it's not a Kriya Ksiv, that it won't pass. So here is a shaila, the later post-commandment. If one assumes like the Menchas Chinuch, so what would you say? You have a Sefer Torah where the word Naira appears, and a lot of times the word Naira written in Chumash Nun Ayin Resh, and we laid it Na'ara. So is that what we would call a Kriya Ksiv? It's written one way, and it's pronounced differently. It's written Na'ar, and we pronounce it Na'ara. So if they spelled it Nun Ayin Resh, it will puzzle, because Minchas Chinuch says Kriya Ksiv puzzles, but you have it. Or maybe you should say no. Maybe Nun Ayin Resh, the word Na'ara has two acceptable spellings in the Chumash. One spelling is Nun Ayin Resh, one spelling is Nun Ayin Resh. So maybe even if you spell the word Na'ara, Nun Ayin Resh, hey, and it's supposed to be spelled Nun Ayin Resh, maybe that's not a Kriya Ksiv. That's an acceptable spelling that just doesn't correspond to the Masorah. It doesn't correspond to the Masorah, it doesn't possibly be Yevit. That's a suffix that the later poskim raised. If one should accept the Menchas Chinuch's chiddush, that if the spelling is correct according to the dictionary, it's just that it doesn't conform to the Masorah, the way it's supposed to be written, it wouldn't possibly be Eben unless it's a Kriya Ksiv. What do you say? Nara, Nara. Is it Kriya Ksiv or not? So that's a good question. Yeah. What did the Gemara say? We learn out from the word Na'ara, Kifatish Nara Besuda spelled Nun Ayin Resh. So it's Chosa, hey? So Naira Chosa means Aktana. She's an incomplete Naira. She's not yet 12 years old. So then the Gemara says, by Moitzi Shemra, the last few lines on the Yomid. The Gemara has 8 lines from the bottom. Omer Ishlokish HaMoitzi Shemra Al Aktana. I married a girl who's Aktana, and then I Moitzi Shemra her. I say she was Mizana during Erisin, and I bribe witnesses to give Eid Sheka that she was Mizana during Erisin. And then the father, Havi, aided him to be Mazim the Eidi Habal. So then there's a parsha, there's an institution of Moitzi Shema. What's a Moitzi Shema? What's the punishment? So there are 3 parts. For Yisrael also, they give him Malkus. For Yonsha also, Mea Kesef, he pays 100 shkolim, double the amount of Oynes and Mefata. And the Mishnah has an Erechin that a man is ma'anis a girl, that's scandalous. A man is mefata, a girl is worse. A man is moitzi shemra alishta. He says that he takes a hoitzos loshen hor. They made up the story. Not even true. Hoitzos shemra on his wife is worse. So the Mishnah brings out, look, loshen hor is worse than oisa maisa. If the man is ma'anis a girl, he only pays chamishim shekel kesef. And he says loshen hor about the girl when it's not true. Loshen hor means that it is true. Not true, it's a shemra, so he pays meir shekel kesed. So the whole sugi of Lashon Hara appears there in Erechin in connection with that Mishnah. So the Mishnah sounds like it's saying, the chayma hadin of Lashon Hara, that you pay a greater penalty, meir shekel kesed, for Lashon Hara, as opposed to oynes, that you only pay chamishim shekel kesed. So there would appear that there are 3 punishments for the Moitzi Shemra. One is v'yisra also, that you give malchus. One is v'yonshos ha'meir kesed, He has to pay 100 shkolim. And the third is v'loisi eliyisha liyuchal l'shalcha kol yama. Same as by oynes, v'loisi eliyisha. So the Mishnah says in Erchin that the oynes comes, sounds like it says, the oynes of Moitzi Shemra is so chomer, twice as chomer as oynes. Oynes only pay 50 shkolim, here he pay 100, because of the chayim ha'avera of Lashon Hara. Our Gemara quotes Rish Lakish, doesn't sound like that. Our Gemara sounds like the husband is punished for attempted murder. He was trying to kill his wife. He's Moitzi Shemra al-Aktano. Aktano is not going to be Chayv Misa. The pasuk continues. The mem is hoya dover. Hazel nimtzu b'sulam na'ara v'atziu es ha'nairo pesach pesavuyo v'skolu Aktano la bason sheni. If his wife is Aktano, Moitzi Shemra al-Aktano, he's not Chayv the punishment of Moitzi Shemra because she's not a bason shen. So our Gemara sounds, the last few lines on mem and mebe sounds like the punishment, the oynish for the Moitzi Shemra is because of attempted murder. That's a serious, very serious affair. And the Mishnah in Erechin sounds like it's because of Lashon Hara. That's double the oynish of oynis. Oynis is 50 shkan, this is 100. So look how chomer Lashon Hara is. It's more chomer than oysa maisa b'yodan. So the Rishonim ask, isn't this a contradiction? Is the punishment for Moitzi Shemra because of attempted murder, or is it because of the Lashon Hara? So some Rishonim say the Mishnah is Agarata. Our Gemara is the Aloha. Our Gemara is saying what the din is. Moitzi Shemra is only Chayiv the Oynish, the Malkus, with the Mammon, with the Loisei Leisha, if it's attempted murder. If there's no attempted murder, then it's only Lashon Hara, then there's no punishment of Moitzi Shemra. Other Rishonim say no, that the Oynish is because of the Lashon Hara. I think Mara says here that if you Moitzi Shemra alaktano, you're not chayiv because she's not a basonshin. So Tosfos says, no. What if I Moitzi Shemra, my wife, I say she was Nensa during Erisin? So, let's say I'm a Kohen, and I say she was Nensa, so I'm not allowed to live with her. But I say she was Nensa, it's not her fault. So that's not called Hoitzel Shemra. So Shemra is only, I say, a story. Moitzi Shemra, I say the wife was Mazana. She did something wrong. She acted improperly. But I'm saying the girl was Nensa. So even if I say I'm going to have to get divorced, but I didn't accuse her of doing anything improper. She had no choice. Well, now we're the Sasa Dover. It wasn't her fault. So that's what Tosfos learns. No, not. The Ritva says that the Mishnah in Erchin is Agarata, and Agamor is the real reason. The real Oynish for Kasha, the real Oynish for Moitzi Shemra is because of attempted murder. Tosfos says, no, the real Oynish is for Lashon Hara, but Moitzi Shemra laktana, the Gemara has later, but then Pitu Ktana Oynesu. Even if the Ktana was Mazana Berotzen, the Bavli says she doesn't become Asur al Baila, because Acherish Hatavikotan's Labbene Das is considered as if she had been Nensa. The Rambam Paskin's like the Rishalmi against the Bavli. The Rambam says, if a Ktana is married and she's Mazana Berotzen, does she become Asur al Baila or not? So the Rambam quotes the Rishalmi. It depends whether she was married menatara, married midirabbana. If the father married the daughter off, the ketana, she's married menatara. Then if she goes and she's mizana birotzen, then she becomes asoit asur labayla menatara. But if the daughter was only married kiddushin derabbana because the father died, and he siyua ima beacher, the mother and the brother married her off, that's what we call kiddushin miyun. She can break it up like the miyun. If he gives a get, the get is chal. But he doesn't have to give get. She can do miyun without any get. She'll be materis lekuna. So if it's only Kiddushimi on the Rabbanon, then we would be makel that if the Ketana was Mezana, it does not sell the Bible. So the Rambam Paskin is like the Rishalmi. The Rabbin is Masik on the Rambam. He always says, I don't know what the man's talking about. And my Gemara says, Pita Ketana Enesu. He's right. In the Bible it says, Pita Ketana Enesu. The Rambam very often Paskin is like the Rishalmi is against Bavli. The Vilna Gaon writes like that. In Yeridea, in Simen Ayin, the Simen of Abbasish and the Salman Ayin. So the Vilna Gaon says the Rambam Paskin is like the Rishalmi. Kedarka lipsik bekama mekamis kedasai Rishalmi neged HaBavli. Every so often there's a Shver Rambam, and all the nice Kelim break their heads to figure out how did the Rambam get this psak. So the Lech Mishnah stands on his head because Tosfos had a kasha, and the Rambam held this is the teretz to the kasha. He gets it out from the Bavli. And the other nice Kelim say, no, he Paskin is like the Rishalmi, if I think. The Bavli says not so. The Rambam often Paskin is like the Rishalmi. That's a problem. Why should he paskin Dr. Rishalmi against the Bavli? The Rif in the end of Erevin has a klal that whenever there's a contradiction between the Bavli and the Rishalmi, We assume that Bavli was aware of everything that appears in the Yerushalmi. That's a question historically, is that true? The Chachmei HaBavli, were they aware of everything that it says in the Yerushalmi? The Rif assumes like that. They were aware of everything. There are several books about that. Is that true? That those who edited the Talmud Bavli were aware of everything it says in Talmud Yerushalmi. Every so often the Bavli will allude to a story which only appears in the Talmud Yerushalmi. So this seems to indicate that they were aware of the Talmud Yerushalmi. The others say no, they were aware of the stories. They didn't know the Talmud Yerushalmi. They heard in the ear. There were stories floating around the Agadotis. There were stories that they were telling. So the Bavli will allude to a story that happens to be spelled out in Yerushalmi, not necessarily because they read it in Yerushalmi. They heard the same story as was recorded in Talmud Yerushalmi. So the Rif writes in the end of everything like that, a klal. Chachmei HaBavli knew everything that it says in the Yerushalmi. And if they disagree, the Bavli was edited later after the Yerushalmi, so we have a klal Hilchos HaKibasroi. So we should pass them like the Bavli because they took everything into consideration. And the Rambam usually does follow that klal from the Rif. Whenever there's a stir between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, we do pass them like the Bavli. So why is this so? What the Vilna Gaon says, Kedaka shal Rambam lipsik bekama mekamis kadasa Yerushalmi neged HaBavli. That's a problem. Rabbi Gorin, many years ago, put out a fat book, HaRambam HaYerushalmi, and he collects all of these cases where the Rambam paskens like the Yerushalmi in contradiction to the Bavli. So that's a big question. Where did the Rambam get these traditions from? That sometimes he paskens like Yerushalmis against Bavlis.
You're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara,
either. Not allowed to speak Lashon Hara, so Tesis says, but it's not called Lashon Hara. I say she was Nensa. If I say my wife was Nensa, so that's not Lashon Hara. So if I say I was married to a Ktana and the Ktana was Mizana Beratzen, that's like saying the Ktana was Nensa.
He's still saying Beratzen, but he's saying Lashon Hara.
Yeah. So Tesis, yes.
It's a halachic thing, the outcome.
Yeah.
It means Nensa.
Right.
But he's not a nice guy.
Right. Yeah. So that's what Tesis interprets in the Bavli, that's what it means. That it's Moshe Shemra al Ktana. Is considered as if he never said any Lashon Hara, because Pitek Tanayin is, so it's equivalent with they're saying, my wife was Nensa, so there is no Lashon Hara. So some Rishonim, I think the Ritva says, no, the Mishnah and Erchin is Agadata. Our Gemara is the Iker, that the Oynish of the Moitzi Shemra is for attempted murder. Tosfos says, no, the Iker is the Mishnah and Erchin, it's not Agadata. Iker is Mishnah and Erchin, that the punishment for the Moitzi Shemra is because of Lashon Hara. And our Gemara didn't mean to say that the Oynish of Moitzi Shem is caused for attempted murder. No! Since the Ktana is a La Basonshin, Pita Ktana Oynisu, so it's not considered Lashon Hara. As if he said Ishti Nensu, it's not considered Lashon Hara. And others have a Harif as Diketeretz, that the Mishnah in Erechin says that the Moitzi Shem pays twice the amount of Oynis pays 50 Shkolim, Moitzi Shem pays 100 Shkolim. For Lashon Hara, so there are two parts to the punishment. The payment of the 100 shkolim, that's for Lashon Hara. But the Yisrael said the Malkus, that's for attempted murder. My nafkemina, so there's a whole sugi in the first parak in Sanhedrin, on Daf Tes and Daf Yud, goes on and on, a long sugi, the sugi of Moitzi Shemra. So the Rabbi Natam has a whole fantastic shot in that Gemara. When you read the Taisus there, you probably will not understand what the Rabbi Natam said. So you have to look in the Sefer Yosha, the Rabbi Natan. The Maharam on the bottom of the Marshor says, look in the Sefer Yosha, the Rabbi Natan. Every time they quote Rabbi Natan and Tosfos, it comes, Rabbi Natan wrote a Sefer, Sefer Yosha. He writes an introduction. His Chaverim encouraged him to write a whole Sefer of all of his original Shittas and the way he reads Gemaras and so on, because he has a lot of Chidushim. So every time Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natan, it's there in the Sefer Yosha. So in the Sefer Yosha, Rabbi Natan has a whole fantastic interpretation in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that if Hevi Abal Eidim, who would never stand the chance of giving Einish Misa to the woman, there's still a din of Moitzi Shemra. Still has to pay Mea Kesef. There was no attempted murder. So what do you do with our Gemara? Our Gemara sounds like the punishment of the Moitzi Shemra is for attempted murder. Aktana Laba Sanshin Seidin. Rabbi Natan says the husband brought in who are makash each other. Makash each other, whether the woman was Mizana or not, and still he has to pay a Moitzi Shemra money. So that's what some Achreinim want to say, the Rabbi Natan held, that the two onshin, the Oynish of Malkus of the Moitzi Shemra is for attempted murder. And the Oynish of Mammon, the Mayor Kesef, that's for the Lashon Hara.
They will say that here too.
Yeah, so the two are correct. The Mishnah in Erechin says that the punishment of Meir Shekel, that's for Lashon Hara. And Agamar goes, the punishment of Malkus is for attempted murder. So Rabbeinu Tam is talking on the sugya and said, Hedin Daftes, about Meir Kesef. So the Baal, the husband, brought Edom, he bribed witnesses to give false testimony. That's what the next parak says. You only chayiv, the whole punishment of Meir Shemer is only if the husband bribed witnesses to give Eid Sheker, and then they were huzmu al yidei Eidei Ha'av. The Av's Edom amazim them. So the husband brought Eidei Sheker to testify that what? Testify to try to kill a wife? Oh no, just to say she's Asura Ba'ad, didn't try to kill her wife. Rabbeinu Tam learns the whole sugi that Baal brought Edom Shehikhisha Zezeh. So there was no attempt in murder, and he still he learns that the Baal has to pay the Meir Kesef. So he based it on the Mishnah in Erechin, that the Meir Kesef is for Loshen Hara, not for attempted murder. Ayar Sugya, someone say, Ayar Sugya goes on the Malkus. The Malkus, for Yisrael, said that's only if there was attempted murder. But if there's only Tzuas Shemra, the Loshen Hara, then it'll only be the Chiv Tashlumin, and there won't be the Malkus. That's a possibility. A Chiddush. That is a Chiddush. Yeah, the next daf is the famous Mishnah that the din is that Moide Beknas is Potter, and Hoidoaz Baldin Kemelim Domi applies to Momin if it's not Knas. Yeah, so let's say the man is Moide Onasti Pitisis Bito Shoplani. So the Chamishim Shekel Kesev is Knas, Moide Beknas is Potter. But the Boishis of Pagam is Momin, so that he is Mishalim Al Piyatz. The Mishnah is a Chiddush. That not only do we believe the man when he makes Ados Baldin, if he says Anasti, that he has to pay Boshes of Begam and Tsar, even if he says Pitisi. Pitisi says that she also participated in the Avera. I talked in Inter until she finally agreed. I'm Anasti. He says, I did everything wrong. She didn't do anything wrong at all. So one might have argued the point and said, the guy says Pitisi. As Bito Shaploni, maybe we shouldn't believe him. So the Gemara quotes, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai disagrees with the Mishnah. Tanya, the Gemara has 8 lines into the Gemara. Tanya, Reb Shimon Bar Yudah, Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Aboshe Sebekam, Eidem Mishalem Al Piyatzma. The Knas Obgeret, you don't pay Al Piyatzma, but even Knas Potter. Even the Boshe Sebekam, you don't pay. If he says Pitisi, if he says Anasti, he does pay Al Piyatzma. If he says Pitisi, you don't believe him. Why? Lo kalemenu sheyivgam bitu shalplani. He's going to make a hadas baldin, and he's going to pay money. But his hadas baldin is scandalous. He says that he convinced the girl, he coaxed the girl to sleep with him, and the girl participated in the avera. So Reb Shimon says the bezim should not accept such a hadas baldin. It'll just be a busha for the family, because lo kalemenu sheyivgam bitu shalplani. Then the Gemara has a discussion. What if the girl says it did happen? The girl's masking with him. She says, it did happen. So the Gemara says, well, the father may not be happy. The father says, I don't want to believe it that my daughter was masking to the pitui. So then the Gemara says, what if the father and the daughter, both, he knows his daughter. He says, yeah, he can believe it. And he wants it. So the Gemara says, well, the members of the family will be dead embarrassed. So we have, it's not proper. Bezin should not accept such ideas, baldin, and accept what he said and make him pay the boshes of gam money, because it'll be a busha for the whole family. Well, what if the whole family lives, they all know the girl. They all agree that that's what happened. They heard from the girl, they heard from the boy, they all agree that that's what happened. So Reb Shimon says, no, maybe in Medina Sayam, their relatives will not be happy. The Bezin should not. It's like Hefke Bezin Hefke Mikir Adin. Hados Padin Kemein Adam Yipay. But it's like Hefke Bezin Hefke. Reb Shimon says, it's not right. Bezin should not accept such a Hados Padin, because it'll be a busha for the whole family. And even if the chever of the part of the family, the branch of the family here, wants the money, and they do accept his ordos baldin, maybe in Medina Sayam, there are other members of the family who will not be happy about this.
Is this called a chavla cherim?
Yeah. In a certain sense, it is chavla cherim, yeah. So mikra din hados baldinim chavla cherim is nem. Just mid the rabbana, we don't allow it, we don't accept it, because chashina le kenunya. But here, there's no kenunya. So here it's good men are turning, it's good men are abon. It is a chablachmein. It'll cause busha to the other members of the family. So Reb Shimon says, you make a hefke bezna hefke. The bezna should not act upon such a hados baldin. Shouldn't make him pay. So we don't pass on like Reb Shimon. Even though Reb Shimon is the author of the Zohar, we don't always accept the Zohar. Okay, the other Tanaim outvoted him. So the Mishnah gives you different examples of mammon, different examples of knas, and the Gemara goes into a dissertation. What's the status of chatzi nezik of shortam? Is that mammon or knas? That's a machlokes amoraim. Gemara finally comes to the conclusion, the hilchaso, and on the base, the Gemara comes to the conclusion, the hilchaso, we pass on halacha, the palga nisko is knasa. It's not mammon, it's knas. Based depending on this machlokes for the chatzi nezik shortam, is mammon or knas, will be a fundamental machlokes. What's the definition of keren? Keren pays chatzi nezik the first three times. Chatzi nezik nigufon the fourth time you pay nezik shel min aliyah. So there's going to be a fundamental machlokes. Each av nezikin the Gemara has in Bava Kamma. Lehilchaseyan the Gemara has on Hayim base. Each av nezikin has a quirk to it. Boris potter ala kelim and Eishes potter on tomen. Karen is chatzi nezik megufo. Each one has a quirk, and Odom is poter menakoifer. So it's important to determine what if someone made a hezik to someone else that's not any of these, but it's going to be a tolda of one of them. So it's important to determine, is it a tolda bor, then it'll be poter on kelim. If it's a tolda of Eish, it'll be poter on tomen. If it's a tolda of shem beregel, it'll be poter b'shusarab. If it's a tolda of Karen, it'll be chayv chatzi nezik megufo. So it's important to know what are the distinguishing characteristics of each one of these obvious nezik. So the Gemara in Bava Kamma has a machlokes, it's over here also. What labels the shor as keren? So one opinion was kavanos alahazik, and we don't pass like that. On the base of Gimel, the Gemara in Bava Kamma keeps on saying kavanos alahazik, kavanos alahazik. We don't pass like that, we pass mishune, even if it's not kavanos alahazik. Let's say, hai kalma doach imri. A dog is starving, and the dog goes over to a sheep and it eats up the whole sheep. A little dog eats up a whole big sheep. That's a mishuna. It's not kavanos alahazik, he's hungry, but it's absolutely mishuna. That's not normal. Or shunra dochla tandigurli, you have a cat. So the cats, the kittens, usually drink a bowl of milk. They eat some ice cream, face, whatever they eat. They don't eat up a tandigurlis, a live tandigurlis. So the Gemara says, even though it's not kavanos alahazik, but it's mishuna. So we pass in la'alacha, because we pass in palgan iska knosa, therefore the accepted definition of keren is mishuna. If the din would have been palgan iska is mamayna, which it isn't, then the definition of keren would have been kavanasa lahazik. Why? Why is it always like this? So we'll tune in tomorrow to finish the story, okay? Tomorrow's Thursday. What should we do? Chumash. We do tomorrow. We got to finish the Chazara, no? When is the Bechina? 23rd. Okay, we'll take a democratic vote among those who plan to be here tomorrow. We'll determine whether it's going to be.